Yo, this is Rob Harvilla from 60 Songs That Explain the 90s, the world's greatest loopy and perverse and inaccurately named music nostalgia podcast. We're doing 90 songs now because there's too many songs. Pearl Jam, Jay-Z, Jewel, U2, Cher, Hootie. These are just some of the names people yell at me on the internet because we're back. More great songs, more rad special guests, more loopy perversity. Join us once more on 60 Songs That Explain the 90s every Wednesday on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Listeners, welcome. This is Sound Only. I'm Justin Sheridan.
And I'm Mike Peters.
We're your Sound Only co-hosts here to record our deepest, darkest thoughts about the millennial lifestyle, hip-hop, R&B, anime, video games, everything else. This week, we're talking about... We'll talk about a few things. Chiefly, I want to talk about this Ice Spice. Ice Spice.
Yeah. The new Ice Spice EP, Like, which came out,
No, you got to say it right.
Weekend.
No, you need to get the gist
like,
of it.
It's a very specific kiss-off-y way of saying it. Like, you know, if I was to begin a piece about this, like a music writer, I would talk about how I had an algebra teacher named Mr. Ruciano who used to really get on our asses in middle school about using the word like. He'd say something there is or isn't. There is no like. He'd say that all the time, you know? So this is sort of like, you know, a reclamation of the word for the youth who have a healthy mistrust of reality. You know, things can be in between is or isn't. They can just be like things. You know, this isn't my guy. That's not my nigga. I'm not like, you know, it's just we're dancing. I'm dancing with my friend. That's what the entire EP is like.
Yeah. And it's super short too. It's like 18 minutes, bro. You know what I mean?
It really is. It gets in and it gets out of there very quickly.
It's very suited, this EP. We don't even have to just talk strictly about the EP because, like, we should. Ice Spice been through some shit. We need to talk about the Ice Spice thing. We need to talk about Munch. We need to talk about the weird 2 month period where everybody was dunking on Ice Spice. We all decided Ice Spice sucked and Drake was dragging her for filth. There's like three different viral videos of her that was they tried to kill Ice Spice. You know the scene in American Gangster and Denzel?
And it was just like, yes, we've referenced it multiple
my
times.
My wife.
Him leaning back in the chair at his desk.
No,
talking about how they
about.
Took a shot out of him. He's just like, they tried to kill my wife.
That's the John Q one. They tried to kill my wife. And they tried to kill Ice Spice is what they tried to do. But I guess to talk about this, we got to go all the way back to Munch, right? Which is like her breakout song, which is tight, right? Like I like Munch. And it was this, I don't know, what do you think about Munch? Just like
it's cool. Okay, so I'm gonna say that the previous song of the summer, mm-hmm. like which was also like a drill song, was like If You Know, You Know by B Love. Like, mm-hmm. and like there was like that sort of I know you know which song I'm talking about, but there was like that weird sort of contrast in between this sort of pogo Tasmanian devilness of like the way that his voice works against like the sort of floaty, airy Kingdom Heartsy production, which also like, yeah. You know, like there's also like really exciting moments like at the very end of, I don't know what you would call like the first verse for those that they call an answer bit where the production drops out and it sounds like he's just like at a house party and it's like fried audio of everybody in the background like chanting along to the lyrics. Like, and it's really like, it kind of feels like a house party happening at a four-story walk-up that's going a little too long and the cops already got called sort of shit. Like, and it's really sort of, it captures that sort of like frenetic energy in that way. But like Munch is different because like Ice Spice's voice is different. The nonchalant way that she goes about everything is different. The boasts are also like stuff that is, I don't know, like it just like by contrast of what you would normally hear on drill songs, feels like good natured by comparison. Like, We're talking about slaps, not jumping out and, you know, like splashing on like ops or, you know, like putting niggas' names in songs or like, you know, any of this other stuff. It's more so just kind of like, I'm the baddie. I get what I want. You know that I'm hotter than you are. And that's what the whole thing is about. Like, there's not anything on top of it or beneath it.
Yeah, I think I think some of the qualities you just got at are important because to me it's like one. It goes back to that kiss off quality you're talking about, like that nonchalance. Like, there's a kind of mode that Ice Spice is in, but it's sort of, when you talk about the ways that she's not like all the more sort of Aggie drill posturing stuff, right? I remember the first time I saw that Munch video, and it's sort of, you look at her, and it's even this stuff you're talking about, like I'm a baddie, right? It's like you look at Ice Spice, and she's kind of like regular. Right. And I don't just mean that in terms of her look. I mean that in terms of she's non-threatening in a way. So it's like the first time you see Ice Spice, you're both seeing somebody who's making this sort of like sexy breakout rap single. But also there's like a half of that music video that looks regular. It just looks like she's just from around the way. You know what I mean? Like
it's also like, you know, like she started because like she did the Busted challenge and it went medium viral. And then she was just like, oh, I can, you know, like I might could actually, you know, what if I just, she's like legitimately recorded a lot of this EP with stimulus checks. Like this is like, that's what the, and it sounds
she was
like
broke. Yeah. She was,
there's that sort of like extemporaneous, like just fucking around, but I'm still doing it nicer than you, like sort of thing going on with this. Like that, I would imagine would have been frustrating, you know. It, like, which is like also like, actually, our producer Stefan just hopped in the chat and said, "No clarity is a slap." But yeah, it was a good thing that she had. Like Munch was like her own thing, though. It was like her first original record. Like, No Clarity borrows a lot from, you know, Zed's Clarity or whatever. And honestly, for me on the EP, like the songs that have the most obvious samples are the weakest ones. I mean, like they're all good. They're like, there's like everybody on Twitter said there's no skips on the EP. Thank God, because there's only six songs. But
yeah, can we pause real quick and just note how wild it is, how far in the future I know I am, and I'm like, yeah, it is. This Ice Spice EP has no skips. Like saying that out loud, and it's true. If you hook me up to the lie detector, it's a true statement. But also feels why if me from now went
so
back to me
the looking glass.
Yeah, it's like, like 2 months into the past. If I time traveled 2 months into the past and started telling people, "Hey, Ice Spice is gonna put out an EP with no skips," people would slap the shit out of me in real life.
It's also like, you know, like this is also Kanye's fault for putting out those seven song albums, and now we got to talk about it like this. This is like there should be no pacing issues on a six song project. All right. This is the thing that we're saying. But you know, people are capable of doing it. I think of Daniel Southern Necklace Don, you know, 2 Chainz had some hits on there, but there were some parts where it slagged off there in the middle, which is like, there were only 7 songs on that project.
What even Glorilla's is the middle?
Glorilla's, Anyways, Things Are Great. has four of the best rap songs of the year on it. Like, maybe three. Okay, I'll say three of the best rap songs of the year on it. Like, but she's like, but again, like, that one does that. It has some skips on there. Like, she came out of the gate being all earnest on the first record, and I wasn't feeling that. This is just fun from beginning to end. Like, there's not really.
It's vigorous. It's vigorous. Yes. It has like a vitality to it. You know what I mean? That's what it is to me. It's vital.
Those short sort of street interviews videos that it's usually some young nigga in a puffer jacket and some burnt jeans, like talking to other young women in puffer jackets and burnt jeans on the street in New York, like, you know, talking to the phone, be like, yeah, can I get an SU? Blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, like, yeah, they're going back and forth with each other. Like, the whole, that's the sort of playful energy that this project, like, evokes. Like, it's just sort of like, it feels fun to be having one of those conversations and getting put through your paces and turned around, like, because you don't know the lingo, and then you, through multiple listens, learn it, or more likely through falling on your face. Like, it's just a really good natured, like, listen.
Yeah, for sure. It's the good natured thing that I get hung up on, because, like, that's the thing that feels like it should not work about Ice Spice. It shouldn't work that you can kind of, like, I don't know, like, to get to the point, to sort of get to, I think, the pivotal bit of Ice Spice, right? It's like, she has the breakout hit, she has Munch, right? And then, like I was sort of saying, joking about, if I went back into the past 2 months ago, would people be ready for this EP? And it's like, Ice Spice, I think, because she has this kind of, like, unassuming quality. She kind of, like, has this kind of introverted, like, kind of low-key a dork quality to her. I think that's why people thought they could play her. Like, I think after Munch should have got oversaturated a bit, people were like,
but it reads like that in the same way that, like, you know, a girl comes to the party and doesn't want to play Never Have I Ever, and everybody thinks she's quiet. It's just kind of like, no, she just doesn't know you. Why would I share that? Like, that sort of thing. Like,
she just
also
doesn't
when,
know you.
Mm. Yeah, there is. Because, I mean, like, it's also that same sort of, like, introverted quality that you're describing, or maybe, like, when she has interviews on, like, larger platforms or in, you know, like, or in larger settings or whatever, versus, like, sitting next to, like, a YouTuber on their channel, like Kai Cenat or whatever. Like, it's like that, it's theirs, like, she, you know, made him get up at one point and change, like, during, like, the live that they were doing. Like, they, like, she just kind of, like, commands that kind of like, around the way, I don't know, I guess you'd call it savoir faire. It's like, yeah, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah. What do we think? Like, I was prepared for her to be a kind of, like, really curious one-hit wonder that people just sort of decided, woke up one day and decided to hate. But, like, now I don't know what to expect, right? Like, this EP, honestly, is so good. I love, and I actually don't know I don't even know how to forecast this. Cause, like, I don't know how to process Ice Spice. I don't know.
I don't know how to process Ice Spice any more than I know how to process Pink Panthers.
Yeah. That feels, I mean, that's like a natural comparison, but we should, like, tease it out a bit, right? It's like,
yeah, like, because I remember, like, finding Break It Off by Pink Panthers and playing it 200 times, like, in a weekend. Like, it's just very, like, and the resulting album, I did not listen all the way to the end. There's, like, but at the same time, there's something undeniable forward moving about her career. Like, and the two of them, I think, are rumored to be, you know, like, working on some sort of collaboration. But yeah, like, I also can't really say that I know like what the next thing is. This is like, I also don't think I want a full album of this either. Like there's, okay, I put it to you like this. When I first heard Princess Diana, like on the Like EP, which is a crazy record.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even tell you what time it makes me think of other than like Truck Fit era Wayne in 2011 when it was like, you know, like Young Money, but also like sounds curiously like the future, like a lot of the stuff on this project. And I was like, who's producing this shit? Because like the tag is like, you know, I thought it was Raya, wasn't that? It's Riot. Riot USA is the producer. And I went scrolling on his timeline. Most of it's just like, you know, him retweeting Ice Spice or, you know, this outlet or that outlet talking about Ice Spice or this, that, or the other sort of Billboard achievement. And there's also kind of, there was this guy that was talking about what sounded like this cooking soul edit of Munch. Like, and you know what I'm talking about, where it's just kind of like a producer that like maybe traffics in sootier sound or like works with like more rapping ass rappers.
Yeah.
Would like to maybe sort of expand their horizons a little bit. Or, you know, what if that sounded like this? Like sort of like mashup sort of things that, you know, you and I think both are annoyed by a little bit. But I mean, like it was fine in its way.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounded like a cooking soul edit of Munch, and like it doesn't work with the way that it doesn't work with the spirit of the song. But anyway, the guy said, like, you know, like, y'all gotta stop putting these Hey Arnold ass beats on like these. And I like, and like while points were made, points were absolutely made, I was scrolling while I was listening to the EP. I then got to Bikini Bottom, which I had not heard before, before discovering this tweet. Okay.
Yeah.
Which samples heavily like the shit's going down music from SpongeBob, where like basically he's missed the bus or misplaced his favorite spatula or, you know, Gary's missing again. He ate half the couch, whatever the fuck the thing is. Like this music plays in the background as shit's going down, and like, but it's turned into like a drill song.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of like the thing where everything is being turned into a drill song. I was thinking about like Shawnee Bin Laden probably is like the prime suspect for this, but like it's Shawnee Bin Laden's thing. He's so good at flipping things, sort of like Zanman is. Like, oh, I can't believe that Zanman listens to Tracy Chapman. I can't believe that Shawnee Bin Laden was listening to this Regina Spektor album from 2011. Whatever, whatever. Like, it's more so flexing on people with, like, how you grew up. And SpongeBob is, like, a drill producer using a SpongeBob song is, like, Rick Rubin putting those shitty rock vamps on Eminem records later in his career to me. Like... I like the fun stuff that stuck in my brain was acting a smooshy and Princess Diana, because they just seem completely born out of like a sugar high like that was occurring at 3 a.m. in the studio when they finally were like, all right, we're doing that one. Lay it down.
This stuff is so infectious. Like the way that I think, even just listening to you talk about it and how it feels like, it's the point about vitality. It's the point about the sugar high. It's like there's something about Ice Spice that just feels so kind of like. And again, it's like Pink Panthers works the same way, I think. But like this EP from Ice Spice in particular, it's like. Again, zooted. It's like the only word I can think of is zooted. I just feel zooted. You listen to it, you feel zooted. And then you go out. And it's 3 a.m. and you're ready to rock. You know what I mean? It's that kind of music. It's that kind of music. You know? Thought it was feeling you?
Yeah. like, yeah, it definitely does. It feels like it feels like a party that you stumbled onto, and it's way better than the plans you had that evening. Like, yeah. It's like there is, yeah, I mean, like, it's sort of like that one video that was doing the rounds when, like, the Dig a D record, when Woy came out, and it was like a bunch of like London uni kids, and like the Met police opened up a door to a dorm, and like this kid jumped out in a gray t-shirt and like Adidas track pants and Nike and Air Force Ones, like doing all the lyrics to the song in the cop's face, and like all of like the entire, it was just like a, it just sounds like pandemonium. Like it's a good time.
Yeah. I think that might be like all we have to say about Ice Spice. I feel like Ice Spice is very much now promoted to watch this space. We reserve the right to do more episodes about Ice Spice. But
this episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Ice Spice, watch this space. Honestly, here's where we diverge. I feel like Mike and I spent the weekend doing very different things. Listeners of the recent episodes know that I went on this huge journey with Neal Stephenson and hard sci-fi and Cryptonomicon and Snow Crash. I had dropped reading the second book in the Remembrance of Earth's Past trilogy. People will know the first book in that series as The Three-Body Problem. I love The Three-Body Problem. I did not like the first 100 pages of the second of the sequel.
Did you have the same problems that most people have, which is like, you didn't really, not that you would know about the original Mandarin, but like, you know, that the translation just didn't feel the same? Or like, what was the...
No, it's the... To me... Okay, so here's the thing. The first book and the third book are translated by the same dude, Ken Liu. But then the second book is translated by this nigga named Joel. And Joel... I feel like Joel went about translation differently, and localization differently. And it's hard... You know what it is? Now that I've read all three books, it's hard to... It's hard for me to draw the line between the stuff that I didn't like stylistically about the second book that was like translation and localization issues versus stuff that's just like, oh, I just didn't like the storytelling in the second book. You know what I mean? It feels like, yeah. It feels like some translation shit was part of it though.
Also, to tie this to something we talked about on the pod, Ken Liu is the author that had the collection of short stories from whence Centurion was spawned, like, which mm-hmm. I talked about a little while back.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I don't know, maybe it's a coincidence that the books that Ken Liu translated are the ones I liked out of the trilogy. And it's like, I started the second book months ago and I hated the first 100 pages so much that I just put it down. I was like, I can't do this. And then I picked it back up recently because I was like, again, I had a hard sci-fi, like I needed to scratch an itch, but I didn't want to pick up another 1,000-page Neal Stephenson book, right? So it's like, I picked The Dark Forest back up. And then like, I guess where I dropped it just happened to be a good place to pick it back up because it sort of like just gets immediately better on page like 101. And then, you know, I think it's kind of uneven. And then the last book, which is called Death's End, right? Like that shit, I was like sobbing, bro. Like, come on. I mean, I'm always sobbing at the end of like a good book. Honestly, it doesn't even matter what genre it is. But like those books are, you know, about this like long war of humanity versus this very bizarre alien race. Sort of like, you know, it's this hot, cold relationship of like, maybe we can have a benevolent relationship with these aliens. Oh no, they come in here to kill us. Oh no, is a stalemate. We might work with them again. You know what I mean? It's like, It's like being signed to like a bad record label contract is sort of what humanity's relationship is with the aliens. And the last book just gets super dark and tragic and sad and human. I don't want to spoil shit if people ain't read it, but like I would love if readers who or listeners rather, right, who've like read all those books in that series emailed me just because like I liked a lot of the conversations I have with people about Cryptonomicon. Like, I would love to talk about those books. I've read like 40 Reddit threads ever since finishing those books. And yeah, I don't know. Remembrance of Earth's Past. Email me. We could talk spoilers. We could talk shop. soundonlypod@gmail.com. But that's not all this week. Micah, by all means.
Yeah. But I mean, like, as you and as listeners of this podcast may well know, I've been on a journey of to love myself through video games, just learning things about myself in places that I wouldn't expect to learn things about myself. I don't know that like we would necessarily call Red Dead Redemption 2 as a game like designed to cultivate calmness, but that is what it has inspired. Like there's basically like this early story mission, and I kind of bounced off of Red Dead Redemption 2 when I played when it first came out in 2018 because I was just kind of like,
you didn't did you review it?
No,
you didn't review it, did you? Okay, I thought you reviewed it. Okay.
No, I just straight up bought it like everybody else. I was like, let's see what all this stuff is, what all this unpaid overtime was about. All like it was 100-hour work weeks leading up to it or something. Like yeah, I think about it most with like, you know, I'm experiencing stick drift on the road, like where it's just like the camera being forcibly pulled towards the like expensive looking vistas of the game. But like I was like, I think like at the start of chapter two, like there was just a stage where I got into a cycle of getting jumped by Pinkertons, O'Driscolls, and not being able to get into like, you know, a mission area because of a bounty, and then not having any way to make money because I had such a high bounty, and like the honor being too low to do other, like, and it was just like a lot of things to think about like at a time. As is my way now, I watched 12 videos about it and then I started playing again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it went much better this time. But the same issues like would still happen. So like there's this early mission where you and Hosea Matthews, which is like the older sort of silver tongued, like scheming grand vizier guy of like the gang or whatever, and he's just kind of like, he teaches like it's a tutorial mission where you're basically going to learn how to hunt, and you get to hunt these legendary animals in the game, and you can use their pelts and their meat for, you know, and their fat for a bunch of different things. Like you use everything in the game. But despite having spent something like 2 hours in the starter area and like gathering all these upgrades and shit and doing a whole bunch of stuff before I even played any more of the initial story mission, I went to do this one, seemingly powered up against like this legendary grizzly bear that's, you know, missing an eye and it killed this person. And, you know, like, look at how big the paw prints are. But I have a semi-automatic shotgun and at least like, you know, X amount of deadeye, I should be able to pull this off. Didn't happen that way. Like I got mauled bad. And it's like, it's not slow either the way it happens in the game. Like you kind of got to sit with it. And then the loading screens take a long time.
Yeah.
And then after you die, you don't spawn in the same place. You can't turn around and get right back to it. You can't be like, all right, You got a good lick in there, but I'm gonna get your ass this time. It's not like that. You spawn halfway across the map. Like you got to find your horse again. Your hat's been knocked off, and when you finally make your way back to the area, the bear doesn't even respawn for a while because it's spooked. You just, you know, showed up at its house and tried to shoot at it, and so now it went into hiding.
And now like, y'all these got a are relationship. All the,
yeah, exactly. So now it's like you got to leave and you got to go do other stuff. But in the back of your head, the grizzly bear is always there. And you're like, I'm going to go back and I'm going to get that motherfucker. It's like after I steal this oil wagon, I'm going back to find the grizzly bear. But it's never there. Right. This goes on for like at least 2 days to where I went back a lot and I was just kind of like, how do you find the grizzly bear after it kills you? And there's just, I'm inundated with like, with search results of like articles, well and poorly written in various states of distress about the stupid bear and like finding it, killing it and losing the pelt or anything. Like, and it's just like, but like seeing all that is also calming to where it's just kind of like, yes, sometimes the bear eats you, but also not everything is your fault. There's some things you just can't prepare for. Which I mean, like, yeah, sure. It's like, yeah, you might be listening to this as a person who's beat Red Dead a bunch of times and been like, man, that sounds like you suck at the game. But it's just like, yeah, well, I went back and I got that motherfucker later. But this is really more about like the kind of way that the game forces you to like sit with losses.
Yeah, because that when you were talking about that death animation, like I'm convinced there's like an academic paper / reported feature / YouTube channel / podcast series to be done about like like really good death animations. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like there's some, it's like one of the things about video games, that sense of punishment that you're describing. It's like, that's my shit.
Where, yeah, it's just kind of like, because, well, one, like death animation can also like kind of feel rewarding when it happens like in a really spectacular way. Like the Chivalry 2 death animations are always like, even though like the gameplay is really frustrating and unwieldy, like the death animations are always spectacular and hilarious. Like the death screens in Sekiro feel like getting slapped on the wrist with a ruler, like by a teacher, because it's just kind of like the huge death kanji across the screen as you slowly fall to the ground. It's the same animation almost every time.
Yeah.
Like this one is like, it is, I mean, like remember when there were those articles about whether or not Leonardo DiCaprio was getting like, we had possibly his character had had sexual relations with the bear because of the way that the thing was shot in the Revenant.
I forgot about that whole meme of like,
yeah, exactly. Just because of like the, like, cause I mean, when you're watching that scene in the Revenant, like it happens in stages and like he passes out and then like the bear's sniffing him and then he stirs and then the bear like goes back to like, it's absolutely, it's gruesome and disgusting, right? Same here, except for like the fact that there are prompts that, you know, could help you along the way as you're dying, maybe if you press them quick enough.
Yeah.
But even if you stab the bear, if you're not quick enough to then also shoot him when the prompt comes up, he'll still get you. Like there's so many like chances for failure and success.
Yeah. All of this description is about, I've maybe even invoked this observation before on the pod in previous episode, but like Resident Evil 6 is like an infamous game. It's sort of like a very bad Resident Evil game. It's sort of regarded as like one of the worst big budget video games of its generation. But here's the thing though. Amazing death animations, like just like death animations, the video game, like it's just one iconic thing. You're playing as like Sherry Birkin and it's like you're running from some like big zombie goon bioweapon type situation, and it's like the specific death animation for if you get caught from behind and the chainsaw coming up through her stomach, and the death animation is like 10 seconds long. They don't do it quick to be like you were saying, where it's like, okay, you're going to restart, try this again. It's like, no, you're going to stay for 10 seconds and watch this chainsaw come all the way up her throat. You know what I mean? It's like that kind of shit.
Yeah. 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 It's like there is no, like, there is no, like, being slowly crushed is much worse than like, you know, not seeing death coming. And like, it's much worse than getting like randomly hit by a train, like, which could also happen in this game, or like, you know, running over a flock of sheep while you're in cinematic camera mode and getting randomly, you know, wigged by a sheep herder because, you know, do you know how much sheep cost? It's just like all this random shit can happen in this game, and none of it, it's meant to be this chaotic. And like, trying to enforce or impose a kind of order on it is like, or trying to play it a correct way is like folly, I guess.
Yeah. I feel that. I wouldn't know anything about that. I'm playing Persona 3 now that it's out on PC. I'm playing wholesome video games. And you know what I mean? None of this realistic, open world, dramatic, rock star. I'm playing wholesome high school Japanese hijinks, okay? I'm on brand. I was on brand this weekend when Persona 3 Portable came to Steam, okay? I can only be who I am. I think that's all I got this week. You got anything else about Red Dead? About anything else, Micah? Ice Spice.
Like
in stores. Is it in stores? I don't know. Like in stores.
Who knows if it's on digital. It's in digital stores. It's on streaming platforms or whatnot. You know,
New York is back. New York City is back.
New York is back.
BX is back.
Break out the Montclair bubble.
Listeners, as always, email us. But Ice Spice, Neil Stevenson, Shijin Liu, Ken Liu, the nigga Joel that translated the second book, Red Dead Redemption, Resident Evil 6, soundonlypod@gmail.com. I'm Justin Charity.
And I'm Micah Peters.
Shouts out to our producer, Stefan Anderson. We'll see y'all next week.